Hey, we're talking about prayer, the great conspiracy. What's it have to do with prayer? Well, you'll see. God wants us to understand the simple principles of prayer and how anyone with faith is the size of a little bitty seed, the Bible uses mustard seed as a reference, can activate the power of God to intervene in supernatural ways. Your prayer plugs into the supernatural. Your prayer doesn't just kind of go and fall down to the earth. Of course, if you know much about sound and physics, that sort of thing, which I don't, but I've heard this, is that sound never stops. It just goes. It's a continuum. So when you speak the words of God, when you pray, it doesn't just go out and fall flat. It goes out. Just like when you throw a rock in the river, the ripples continue, right? It's not just where the rock went in. Your prayers are like that. And they had the supernatural power to do the impossible. Asked Pastor Nardacani, or however it's pronounced, 1,000 days. Now, I saw a picture online of him with his kids. Imagine, 3 years, one kid's this tall. Probably when he went in, it's this tall. You know? Could have been dead, but because people prayed, God gave him favor. You see about it in the Bible all the time. Peter and the boys and Paul and these guys, they're always getting thrown into prison for their faith because they were radical. They weren't mealy-mouthed Christians. And maybe that word doesn't translate. They weren't, you know, la-di-da Christians. And last week I talked about shaking hands, people that shake hands like it's like a wet fish when they put it in your hand, you know. That kind of Christian, that's not what changes the world. You know? The kind of boldness that we read in the book of Acts, those are the kind of people that God is wanting to raise up today. And those stories are put in the Bible to inspire us, to remind us of the things God can do. Whenever those guys got thrown in prison, they prayed. God would send earthquakes. The cells would come open. The jailers would run in and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Things like that happen because of prayer. And God's still doing those things. God's not got arthritis in heaven and he's too weak. God's still on the throne and he's still looking to see who is interested. Ephesians 1, 17, 19:8. I love this verse. I keep asking. That's kind of good right there. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Would you like that? Yes. I pray that all the time. The Bible says, I need wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, he should ask for it. Wisdom is much better than knowledge. Knowledge just says you know stuff. Wisdom says how to use it. Wisdom and revelation, to understand the bigger picture, to look through the fog, to look through the clouds and say, this is truth, so that you may know him better. That's why. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I like eyes of my heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. He says the power that he gives us can't be compared to anything else. You can't compare it. The devil doesn't want us to know this stuff. This is a fantastic verse. You could meditate on this and chew on this all day and all night and next week and memorize it and say, wow, God, I need wisdom and revelation. And I need to know the power for me that you've created because I believe in you. The things I can do. And prayer is one of those things. Shameless boldness. Last week we talked about that a little bit. The boldness that we could come to the throne of Christ with. Not like a whimpering dog with our tail between our legs. Not like we're, God, if you think you might, if you're up to it, God, you know, none of this kind of stuff. But we can come to God declaring the things. Last week, I read the story about Honi. There's an old Jewish legend, the story of Honi, about how he drew a circle in the sand and God said, God, I'm praying for rain. Because it was fasting. And when it began to rain, he said, God, this is not... But it was sprinkling. God said, this is... Honi said, this is not the rain that I prayed for, God. I'm talking a gully washer, as we say. That's a Texas thing, maybe. I'm talking about a torrential rain. And God sent drops, it says the size... I don't remember what it says. Eggs or something. Huge raindrops. He prayed with a shameless boldness before God, and God answered that kind of faith. It wasn't arrogance. It was, God, I know you can do it. You can do more. That was the attitude, and God was blessed by that. So it's our privilege to have shameless boldness. God grants us this right when we become followers of Jesus. Because we could come in His presence anytime. Now, I don't know about you, but the shower is a great place to get with God. Something about the bathroom. I don't know. Maybe it's me. But it seems like that's a place where I can zone out from other things and just really think about the things of God. It seems like that's where God speaks to me. I don't know what the deal is with that. But that's where I feel really, you know, we can meet with God's presence anywhere. Your classroom, how many of your students here? Okay, so it's not a test if you don't raise your hand. But you can play pray in your classroom. How many here are filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I mean, you can speak in other tongues. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit comes in you when you're born again, when you're saved. I'm talking about baptized in the Holy Spirit, as in the book of Acts. How many have that? Okay, some. The Bible says you can speak in tongues. Well, you don't know what else to speak. And I run out of things. I don't know about you. You get a little repetitious. When you run out of stuff, the Bible says God can pray supernaturally through you. Anytime. Last week we looked at 1 John 3:21. It says, dear friends, if we do not feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do things that please Him. You've heard about Las Vegas, right? Reno, Nevada. You know, that's known as like the marriage capital. People go there and get married like on the spur of the moment. I guess they're hanging out in the bar. They get drunk enough to have enough margaritas. I don't know. You want to get married? Oh, I guess so. And they get in the car. They get in the car and they have drive-up places you can get married, like McDonald's. Did you know that? You've read that? You've seen that? You guys just got back from America. You probably know what I'm talking about. Maybe not Vegas, but yeah, crazy stuff. I mean, it's like, what's that say about commitment? Not much, I think. But drive-up windows for marriage. You know, boom, boom, boom. It's like, I make a quick decision, and I want it right now, there it is. But we can actually come to God with our requests, and He listens. He does not offer a drive-up window for our ease or convenience, though. You know, it's not like an automatic thing. You know, we tend to hear what we want to hear when we want to hear it. Anyone like that? A little selective amnesia, maybe? You kind of hear what you want to hear when you're ready to hear it, when you want to hear it. And sometimes I hear this. I could come to God with bold confidence and I can get what I want. But God hears this. If you are not guilty. See, God doesn't have to listen to our prayers if we're living our life apart from Him. You know that the Bible says if you don't know Jesus, now, I'm not talking about, oh, I've heard the name Jesus. Okay, great. Most people have, at least in the Western world. But I'm talking about, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you asked Him in your heart? Have you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you said, Lord, I'm rotten. I need your help. I'm a sinner, Lord. I need your help. I'm talking about those that know Jesus. The Bible says that he turns a deaf ear to those that don't know Him. That's why when someone says, well, I'll say a prayer, and I'm like, great, but do you know Jesus? Because otherwise, boom. No drive-up windows. There's only one way not to feel guilty, and that is to ask to be forgiven. He's not a way, he is the way. He's very clear, the Father is, that only through the sacrifice of Jesus can we even get close to that throne of grace. And you could say, well, good enough, I believe in Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. I believe that. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm in church this morning. That's good. I believe that. But do you know him? You know, I've heard it said, and you've probably heard it as an illustration. The longest distance in the world isn't like from the North Pole to the South Pole, but it's from here to here, from the head to the heart. A lot of people can think about a lot of things, but what they really believe is right here. And Jesus says, do you really know me that way? The Bible's full of stories about you didn't know me. Depart from me. And they would say, Lord, we prophesied your name. We healed people. We cast out demons, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, you didn't know me. You never took the time to really know me. You never really, like that song, I surrender. You never really surrendered your life to me. You knew how to punch all the, how to mark all the dots. But you never lived for me. You lived for yourself with me wrapped around you. There's a big difference, isn't there? There's a difference between knowing about something and believing it's true and applying it to your own life. Churches are full of people who attend religiously, read about Jesus, hear about Jesus, nod their heads during sermons. Yes, Pastor, that's right. But they don't know Jesus. It's a conspiracy. It's a great conspiracy from hell, as a matter of fact. Just like the conspiracy that says, you can't pray. You shouldn't pray. That's boring. Ever wonder why when you go to pray, it's so easy to fall asleep? Because there is some power at work that doesn't want you to pray. And sometimes in our own heads, we accept that because it's not worth it, so I'll just go to sleep. James 2:18-20. Says, but some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is a God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But you know what? There's not going to be any demons in heaven. You can know about something and still not believe it in your heart. It's not good enough to acknowledge Jesus' existence. Hell does that. There's a difference between religious thinking and honest relationship. Two things that are evident that can separate us from the false thinking of religious thinking. One is forgiveness and public confession. And two is the repentance that leads to life change. Acknowledgement of our personal sin and our deep need to forgiveness is crucial in our new life in Christ. Here's what it says in 1 John 1:8. Think she's got a tricky. Ooh. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place, in our hearts. I hate Diet Coke. As from the pit of hell, if anything, do you see anyone? No, I won't even ask if you like it. That wouldn't be fair, I guess. But my wife used to play tricks on me because she used to be into the diet soda pop. You know how it all goes. And she wised up. But she used to play tricks on me. If we go to a restaurant, I'd get a Coke, and she'd get a diet one. And when I'd get up to go somewhere or something, she'd switch them on me. And I'd take a big, I'd come back from moving my mouth probably, talking too much, and take a big drink. And I mean, I would just about, it was like a big hair wrapped around my tongue. You know that feeling when you get a hair in your mouth? Ooh, yeah, yeah. But that's, I don't like synthetic stuff. I don't like vinyl. I like leather. You know what I mean? I don't like plastic. I like metal. I don't like synthetic anything. And oh, that we'd have that same disgust with synthetic Christianity. You know what I mean? Synthetic. What a bad taste that must put in our Lord's mouth. Synthetic Christianity. Having a form of godliness, but not having any power. Synthetic. Devil loves synthetic because he's a master of synthesis. He can't create, so he mimics what God's already created. That's the way it works. The Bible's very clear that everyone has sinned, fallen short of the goal. That's Romans 3:23 if you're taking notes. We're all in need of forgiveness, and apart from it, we cannot be saved. By the way, if you're here today and you don't have a Bible and you would like an English Bible, they're in the back. They're quite cheap. If you don't have any money, you can take one. If you can pay a little more than 5 euros, then do that, then we can give the other one away. You know how it works? Get a Bible. Matter of fact, if you brought a Bible here today, praise God. Bring your Bibles when you come to church. Take your own notes. Don't just listen. Write it down. Repeat it to yourself. Then when you go home, look at it again. Then you'll retain what it is God's been speaking to you about. That's why God puts it on your heart to write something down anyway. Being willing to confess Jesus publicly from the heart, that's kind of the litmus test for a true believer. In Romans 10, I love this verse. This verse God has given me so many times when I've been talking to an unsaved person and they want to know, how do you know Jesus? This Jesus that you're so excited about. And it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe, not your head, with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. Same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. I love this one because it's so inclusive. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone that calls on him with that kind of sincere heart and willingness to profess him as Lord. To me, it's such a clear pathway for anyone to understand what you must do to know Jesus. It's a banner verse. The enemy has conspired very effectively to neuter Jesus as irrelevant and unnecessary. You know, sin has become subjective, right? Faith in a supreme being has become foolish or childish. Repentance has become a word for the weak. Salvation for those who cannot succeed any other way. Oh, Jesus is your crutch. You bet. Thank you, Lord. Because I can do nothing apart from you, Jesus. That's worthwhile. Ask the other trillions of people that have died before us what their life has mattered. Apart from him, our worth isn't really grand. But in him, we become joint heirs to the throne. After all, if you do not believe you are sinful and need forgiveness, what is there to be saved from, huh? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts hearts of sin. And, you know? That's why we need the Holy Spirit to come and speak. My sister Barbara that received Christ a month ago. Supernatural setting. It had to be. Because she's been so violent against it almost. And when she finally said, yeah, I would like to know him, I'm like, about fell on my chair. But God can do that. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts and calls us to him. It's truly a great conspiracy that Satan has tried to put on us, incubate in hell to deceive God's creation. Self-dependency instead of God-dependency, known and bottled as pride. Repentance leads to life change. How many, since you know Jesus, you've known Jesus, something has shifted in your life? I hope. Repentance leads to change, to life change. That's a good thing. So many people think, well, if you repent, that means you admit you're guilty. That's right. That means that I need to do something different. You've maybe heard me say before, and you'll probably hear me say it again after today. But to get somewhere you've never been before, you've got to do some things you've never done before. You've got to go, if you want to go this way, you got to turn around and go that way. You can't keep going this way and expect to get over here. It takes change. It takes deliberate effort on our parts. It leads to life change. You know that second part of that verse we saw in 1 John 3:22 that says, "And we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him." It doesn't say carte blanche that we will receive whatever we ask. It says because we obey and we're obedient in his word and live in such a way that's pleasing to him that God will want to honor us. That's a problem in the 21st century because we want God our way and on our terms. The God that we have on Sunday is not our God on Monday. That belongs to us. That's not good. And God's called us to something different and given us the ability to do that way, something different. Jesus always associated repentance with salvation. In Matthew 4, for example, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He never talked about salvation apart from change, apart from repentance. It always demands a change and takes a deliberate effort. And that means we cannot go on living the way we did pre-Jesus and expect him to respect our prayers. And actually, you may think so, but today's message isn't really about repentance. It's about prayer. But repentance and the way we live is so interconnected if we want to see effective results from our prayer that we can't divorce the two. For me to come in and say, guess what? All you have to do is pray and God's going to do it. Run along, Jesus, and get me something. Like he's a butler. No. God says, do something with your life. I've given you a new chance, a new start. Now let's get busy. And when you pray and you pray with the right motives, I'm going to want to answer that prayer. And when you pray and come boldly to me, believing I'm going to do what I know I can do, and you believe it too, guess what? I can do that. But you better be living for me. Don't spit on me on Monday and come and cry to me on Sunday morning. You got to be there for me, Jesus says, 24/7. Live for me. Obedience to him. Oh, the dirty word, obedience. Commitment, another dirty word, ooh. But I'm afraid, guys, apart from that, the drive-up window in Vegas is still open. There's nothing that God's going to respond to that way. God responds to a heart of obedience. I love this 2 Chronicles 7:14. How many know this verse before we even turn it on? 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people... Okay, it starts that way. Whoo! If you got dizzy, it's okay. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and, a lot of people don't like this part, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Do we need healing in Maastricht? Okay, it's audience participation time. Do we need healing in our families? Do we need healing in this world? You know what? The Democratic National Convention, I hope it's over. I don't know. I don't follow it. But politics is not the answer, guys. Never will be. Never has been. Government and its programs is not the answer. God says, if my people will just humble themselves, recognize me as the answer, get themselves off the throne, turn from their own sin, hate it enough to turn, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And their land also means you because you're part of the land. But it also means your family. It means everything. It means your future. Great verse. Pray, seek, and turn. They will pray, seek, and turn. Pray. If you don't get anything out of that, can't remember it. Pray, seek, and turn. God says, I can do wonders if you allow me to. If we'll let him. It's not whether he can or will we let him. What does the devil fear more than anything? The faith of a believing church, of a believing person that prays with boldness, believing that God hears. That's what the devil fears. That's when the freed people, us and Jesus, become the freers. Because now we have something to release into other people's lives. We pray with boldness because we serve a Lord who is anxious to accomplish His will on earth. And Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. So what can we do as a church to see Him accomplish the missions of Damascus Road? Just part of the program here. Damascus Road isn't. This is part of His kingdom, you know what I mean? But we're here. We're kind of stuck with it. What can we do with Damascus Road to touch His kingdom? That's why you've got those pieces of paper. Now, if you believe in prayer, take it. Put it in your purse, your Bible, whatever. But take it as a reminder. Also, you'll find them on the website if you lose it. Without Him, the city and this nation and this world is without hope. How can we as a church touch the people around us? How can we as a church touch this city in such a way that they see Jesus? What do we need to do to put aside in our lives that which is hindering this from happening more powerfully? That's probably even a bigger question. What can we do in our lives to set aside the things that we're compromising and that God might be more powerfully moving here? Because we have to decide if others are worth it and if we take responsibility. That the way we live, think, and speak will influence those around us either for or against our Jesus. That's true. The way we live, the way we think, and the way we speak influences those around us. For the good or bad. If we're a Christian, hopefully it's for Him. That's good. And I believe that this church is going to continue to grow if we're serious about the message and truly believe that we have the answer in Jesus. And we need to pray with all of our hearts for God to do more because it begins with each one of us. Just real quick, 2 Timothy says this. For God has not given us. This is another one you can write on your hand or something. This is a good one to memorize. Power verses. How many love to memorize God's word? Get it in your heart. This is another one right here. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Some versions say a sound mind. That's a good thing to have, sound mind. You want to have a sound mind. But God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. In James, it says this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. In effect, how do you get righteous? It's in Jesus. You're not righteous on your own. When you ask Christ into your heart, that's why I talked about that earlier, when we repent and we ask Jesus to come in, He says we're righteous because His blood has covered our sin. It's powerful and effective, that prayer is. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain and did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That's a while. I would say that's an effective prayer. For 3.5 years. Pastor Nader Khani, almost 3.5 years. Pray. And God sets him free. But I like this part. Elijah was just like you and me. Why do you think God put that in there? Did God have to put... What's the purpose of adding that little bit? He's a man just like us. He didn't have to say that. It was enough just to say, hey, prayed, didn't rain 3.5 years. Big deal. But he said, no, Elijah was a guy just like you and me. But he believed. He was a man who had faith. He was a man who knew repentance. He was a man who knew how to pray to God effectively. God puts that in there because He's saying, you're just like him. That's good to know. I get excited about that. Because God, not that I don't want it to rain, although there's some days here I wish it would stop in the winter, that's for sure. But God's saying there's so much power available for them that believe if we're powered by the right motives. He wants us to know that same power that Elijah tapped into and that same power is available for us. You know, one of the other parts of the great conspiracy that's been sold to the church is that our prayers don't matter, that your prayers don't matter, that our prayers are not powerful, that our prayers don't matter, that someone else can pray better, all this kind of garbage. And God says, no, Elijah was a man just like you, just a person like you. The difference is me. He connected with me. And I totally, radically changed his environment, which he did. We've been told our prayer does nothing. It's merely an exercise for religious people. You know, my daughter teaches spinning. I have one daughter that teaches. She's a spinning instructor, you know. And I went to her class once. Yeah, that was something. And she hooked me up to the heart monitor. They have these monitors that they can check your heartbeat, you know. And like it goes like, I forget the colors, but it goes like, doesn't matter. It goes from like gold to green to brown to like flashing red. Which you can imagine, red means you're ready to explode at any second, right? You're going to become a bloody pool on the floor. And so, you know, I'm in this class with all these other people that have been doing this for like an eternity, right? And I'm like, big deal. Just got some pedals. Got a seat. I'm from Netherlands. No big deal. So I'm on there. And I'm pedaling this thing. And then she's speeding up. Now create the tension hotter and stronger, you know. So you're, and you have to stand up. You're doing this. This is for an hour. An hour. Needless to say, 10 minutes into this thing, the red was going on. And I remember she said afterwards, she said, Dad, I was so afraid you were going to die. She said, I could just see you falling off the cycle on the floor and calling an ambulance. You know? After I felt great afterwards. I didn't have any pain or anything, you know. But, yeah, it was like, exercise is great, and I'm glad I survived. But do I want to go back again? Maybe not. Maybe without the heart monitor, that's for sure. Just added a color show up there. But so often I think we think prayers like that. It's just this painful exercise. We know it's good to do, but we don't really feel like doing it. Because sometimes it seems painful to us or something, I guess. Like it's merely an exercise for religious, like doing push-ups, you know? Many miracles of God do not take place because His people do not understand the possibilities available to them in prayer or do not believe God hears them. Did you hear that? When we believe God hears us and we're motivated to pray, that's why it's great when we're up here talking, like Steve was sharing during the prayer time. Look what God has done. Don't think that, yeah, it's people on the screen. I see pastor guy up there doing this. Yeah, well, you know. Well, you know why I do that? Because I prayed for people a lot. Nothing's happened. I go in hospitals, pray for people. They get healed. Not often. But you know what? Occasionally. Now, if I had the attitude that I'm just not going to do it anymore because 9 out of 10 don't get healed, what about the one? You know what I'm saying? See the mentality? And the enemy wants us to believe that, oh, see, most of the time it doesn't work. Yeah, but what about when it works? To be healed from cancer, you're pretty grateful. God can do great things if we will just believe. I think too often we have more faith in the problem than we do the God of the answer. If we'll humble ourselves, pray and seek Him, God will do some things. We'll just see. If we've asked Jesus in our heart, if we've asked Jesus into our hearts, everyone here has the same amount of Jesus. You got the same amount of Jesus I do. But do you believe that that same amount of Jesus that you have can do the things that He said you could do? I think too often the devil has come, and he does come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can get us to believe that our prayers are not good enough, now some of us can say, yeah, not good enough. They're not theological enough. They're not smart enough. They don't sound holy enough. If he can get us to think that way, he can get us to stop praying. Especially in public, we wouldn't want to open our mouth and look like a fool. But you know, God's just waiting to say, pray from your heart. Pray what God, what I put here. You know the things I need to do. You know the things that are around you that you want, that I can influence for good. Begin to pray. Power to do real-time damage to spiritual enemies when we pray, and release an atmosphere of God's presence and glory when we pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and keep always on praying. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All sorts of ways. It's necessary to receive God's blessing, power, and fulfillment of His promises. Why is it important? Because prayer activates God's divine plan and causes them to materialize. I don't know why it is, but so often it seems like God depends on us to cooperate with Him so that He can do what He already wants to do. Example would be in Luke 10. Remember the story where He says, He told them, He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. So what, God, why don't you send them anyway? No, you pray, and then I'll do it. God says, I came to seek and save that which is lost. This is important to me, but is it important to you? If you pray, I'll release. There's a good example right there. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the fields. In some respects, God has limited Himself to that. You know, these prayer needs that we're talking about for the church, we're not going to go over them, but you can stick them up on the screen there. The prayer focus. And they're on the paper. And each one, as we go around, and we're not going to take time to do that, although it looks nifty. But we have all these different things. Children's ministry, teen youth ministry, whichever you want to call it, drum, our university ministry, connect groups, small groups ministry, which we're going to be starting this fall, missions, leadership development, giving church, a new church home. Big, heavy thing. Some of the problems we had this morning with electricity that just about toasted half of our equipment is because we're renting from here. And let me tell you, if all this goes up, you're looking at 20,000 euros. It's a little bit. So a new building that we could say, this is the Masters Road, would be nice. I don't want to say new, a different. But one where God strategically has placed us, a city on a hill, where God can reach out to the city, where people can trust where we're at and know that we're there for them. I think it's a great thing. And I think this new season we're in, God is wanting to do that. So those are the prayer focuses that we're going to be praying about this month on Tuesdays. So ask. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. You get the tour of the world right there. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a new understanding of prayer. This is fair. If you can say, you know, I'm not, I would like to pray more, but I don't understand it much. Well, ask. Ask Him to give you a new passion for prayer. Ask Him to align your desires when you pray with His. Ask Him to help you take the focus off your prayers, off yourself, and put the focus on God's missions instead. And ask God to lead you to others that you can pray with. My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. It's a promise. It's a promise for everyone that will do it. Father, I thank You for this day. Father, I thank You for the power You've given us. God, and we know that the devil has conspired to try to get us to settle for a synthetic faith. And we know he's conspired to try to get us to think that our prayers are irrelevant. They don't matter. That we can't pray well. But God, I thank you that you have solved the conspiracy. Jesus, what you did on the cross and the power that you provided for everyone that calls on your name, the power to change, the power of repentance, the power, God, to pray, the power to see mountains change, to be moved, the power to see obstacles lifted, the power, God, to reach more souls for your name, Jesus. And the power you've entrusted with us by the Holy Spirit to give us a new capacity, a new understanding of the things you want to do in our life. You said, Lord, in Isaiah, you said, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Repentance, life change. Repentance is life change, God. Is your life really different? Do people see the changes? Are you just like the Diet Coke, the synthetic? Where do you stand? Not only that, but where do you stand with Jesus? We talked a lot about that in the beginning. We first have to recognize that we need a Lord and Savior. And Jesus says, I have come that you may have life. We need to recognize that all have sinned and fall short of His glory. That none of us are without excuse. We all, Father, need the Son, which is Jesus, and what He did on the cross. Now, if you're here today, talk about miracles and the power. If you've been walking around Jesus, if you know His name, but you don't know Him in your heart, maybe you've known Him at one time, you walked away, the power of heaven is waiting here for you. But you have to be willing to repent and say, Jesus, I need you. My life is not right. Forgive me. And Jesus says, I'll be faithful and just. I'll forgive you your sins. But come to me with an honest, repentant heart, that crushed and humble spirit I will never turn away from. Those that cry out for me, I will touch. And I know there's some of us here today, we know about Jesus, but we don't really have Him in our heart, or we don't have Him there any longer. That's the greatest conspiracy of all, to keep people from the One who gives life and love and who completes our life, not just here on earth, but in heaven as well. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you come and you convict hearts. Reveal to us our sin and our need for you, Jesus. If you feel like I'm talking to you personally right now, I want you to stand right where you're at in your seat. We're going to pray. No one's going to be looking at you. Just stand right where you're at. If you want Jesus, if you want to get Him from the head to the heart, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what your current situation is. Today is the day that He said, I'll come in and I'll be with you. And your life can radically be changed. But you've got to not be afraid of me any longer. And you can't run from me any longer. But run to me. Who needs to do that today? It's not about joining a church. It's about joining the One from heaven that came down to love you enough to die in your place. There are people here that have walked away from Jesus. Today, God is knocking on your door and He's saying, won't you return? You need to stand. Any others? You need to stand. And you, the reason you're standing is because you are admitting. You know, like it said in Romans 10, 9 through 13, if you confess with your lips and you believe with your heart. Public confession is a powerful experience with Jesus. Father, thank you for the things you want to do in our lives. We're going to pray this together because, Lord, we believe that you're able. And we're going to agree with our brothers and sisters that are standing here today. So just pray with me. Maybe everyone can pray, especially those that are standing. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. Change me. I want to live for you, Jesus. Show me how to live for you. I confess you with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe you died for me and rose again that I may have life. Therefore, I call on your name that I might be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are standing, you can be seated. Before we go, one more thing. Just hang on just for a second. How many of you would say, and I really want to be more effective in my prayer. There are things in my life that have been hindering. I can see now I've been hindering my prayer because I've been synthetic about some things. I haven't been really obedient to Christ. And so my prayers have been hitting a brick wall, but there are things that I want to change that. I want to change that because my life needs to count. And I know that my prayers, God depends on me to do some things. And He wants to use me and work through me as His vessel. And I have been denying Him by the way I live. Now, if that's you, I want you to stand right where you're at. We're going to pray right where you're at. But do it quick. Father, you see these that are standing. Father, I don't even need to know who they are. I'm not even looking. It doesn't matter to me. But what matters is that they have the guts to stand and say, God, I want this to change. I want my prayers to be effective. You said they would be. But God, I want my life to be different enough that you're attracted to me. That when you see when you hear my prayers and you look at my life, you can say, that is a man just like Elijah. That is a woman with the same spirit of Elijah. No different. They believe and they come to me with boldness because they want what I want. They're praying for this lost world. They're praying for the needs of others. They're interceding and they're standing. And they're changing their life because they don't want anything to get in the way of my power to touch this earth and the people in it. Father, minister into their hearts right now, today, in Jesus' name. Do what man, my words, what nothing else can do, you do, Holy Spirit. Put us such a strong conviction. Father, give us such a radical distaste for sin and compromise that, Father, we're not even interested in it anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're standing, I just want you to raise your hands to heaven. I want you to begin to thank Him and love Him. With your own words, don't be afraid to open your mouth. Just tell Him how much you love Him, how much you need Him. And whatever it is, maybe, that you've been dealing with that's been a hindrance, just begin to give it to Him. Father, I thank you for all the good things you're going to do through these people. Father, I speak this by faith and I receive it by faith because, God, I know you want to touch through your church. And I know, Jesus, the church is the vehicle that you have created on this earth right now to touch this world. We are your church. We are believers. And Father, I thank you, the Lord God, that you're going to put it in our hearts, righteous prayers. God, and we're going to pray with a new confidence and a new boldness, shameless boldness, coming before your throne. And we're going to see you move and touch this city and touch our families and touch our roommates and touch our neighbors and touch our coworkers, touch our neighborhoods, touch this world, God, touch our nations. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive us, God, that we've let so much get in the way. And all along, all the power of Elijah has been in our fingertips. If we'll believe, turn from our ways, humble ourselves and pray, you will hear and you will heal. That's your promise. Thank you for it, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.